God don't want to live in no junk. God don't want, I mean, if he said just for a tabernacle that they were in as they journeyed through the wilderness, $13 million. And he said once they got into the promised land, a temple that would cost over $6 billion. You know, God is saying that I don't want to dwell in any junk. So I asked the question today, what kind of tent have you provided for God to live in? Are you a pup tent or a circus tent?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, Spur Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Be a Tabernacle for God from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Be a Tabernacle for God.
Only God can design the way that we are supposed to be. God has made you his poem. And as you think about the fact that God has written word pictures in you, God has written rhymes in you, that God puts you together, that Bill Glaze, Dr. William R. Glaze, is God's poem. And that when you see me, what kind of poem am I? I've been designed by God. And I have to let God live through me. And as I let God live through me, the God that lives in me, when I let him live through me, then I'm that poem that speaks to others. Paul said in another place, Paul told the Corinthians, you are my letter. The people are talking about, Paul, you know, where is your credentials at? You know, Paul, here you say that Christ met you on the Emmaus Road and that you've been commissioned by God to deliver this word. And they began to question Paul's authority and they began to question Paul's authorization. And Paul looked at the Corinthians and he said, you are my letter. When God looks down here and we see all the great poets writing poems, writing, and you know, there are some beautiful poems that are in the world today. Just think of poems that you might even have memorized, that you may have read in college or you may have read in high school, and there's all kind of poems in this world. But God said, oh, he said, I got the best. He said, because Dr. William R. Glaze is my poem. He said, you are my poem. As you sit out there, you've been designed by me. And because there's certain things that you've been designed by. Yeah, I heard the story about a minister who went into a coal mine and there was a flower and it was pristine in the midst of all the coal dust. Its petals were pure white. And the minister began to talk to the guide and ask, how come this flower is so pristine in the midst of all this coal dust? And the guide said, because when the petals on this flower are so smooth that when the coal dust falls, that the coal dust just falls right off. The petals on this flower have been designed to resist the dirt and the grit and the filth of the mind. And God has designed you that even though you are in an evil world, with all type of evil going on. We just heard about a mass shooting this morning. I think it was in Baltimore. We hear about child trafficking. We hear about all the evils and ills that are all around us. And in the midst of it, God has designed you to be pure and to be holy and to let all this stuff of the world just roll off of you. And so that when you come here on Sunday morning and we talk about bringing God with us, that we are bringing God's design. You are God's poem during the week, that people ought to be able to look at you and see a beautiful poem. They ought to be able to look at you and see a beautiful love poem written by the hand of God. We see the design. The next thing we see is the devotion. You've been designed you've been designed. Not only have you been designed, but you've been devoted. Notice what he says here. And it came to pass on that day, Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and anointed them and sanctified them. Numbers chapter 7 and verse 1. That the tabernacle was devoted to God. You couldn't go up in the tabernacle singing rap or hip hop. You couldn't go up in the tabernacle singing soul or R&B, right? You couldn't go up in the tabernacle finger popping and having a good time. That tabernacle was devoted to God. It was God's design, and it was devoted to him. When we think about the believer is devoted to God. You are the temple. Notice what it says here. What? Know you not that your body is the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You've been devoted to somebody else, that you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body, which is the tabernacle. Glorify God in your body, which is the tabernacle, and in your spirit, which are God's. That you've been devoted to God. Wow. And because you've been devoted to God, you've been designed by him, that there's certain things that you can and cannot do. I'm reminded when I first came to Bethany. And when I first came to Bethany, we had one of the old pipe organs. And made beautiful music, right, and you played it. But this was during the time when the transition was being made to the Hammonds and to the other organs, right, and where guys would come in on the Hammonds, and they would make them things smoke, right? I mean, they'd play them, they would blow the speakers off those Hammonds, right? Then they would get on that organ over there across the street, and they would try to get on there and do the same thing. They couldn't do it. Why? Because it wasn't designed. It wasn't designed for that. It wasn't designed to do that. And it wasn't devoted to that. You know, it could definitely play the hymns and it could play the anthems, but some of the moving and jumping music, it just couldn't do it. And I see guys, oh, they get frustrated, man, trying to make that thing smoke. And it just wasn't happening, right? And so that was devoted to a certain type of music. And so when we think about us, you've been designed. You are God's poem. You've been designed by him, and you've been devoted to him. And then the next thing we see is that the dwelling, and that is he dwells in you. Designed, devoted, dwelling. And you know, let me read this and then I'm going to come back and say something. The tabernacle was occupied by God, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The believer is to be occupied by God. And what agreement hath the tabernacle of God with idols? For you are the tabernacle of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice what he says right there. He said, I will dwell in them. And this is a hard concept to wrap our minds around, the fact that God lives in us. Wow. I mean, sometimes I don't feel that God is living inside of me. You know, I don't feel an extra person moving around inside of me. I don't feel added weight from somebody else being inside of me. But by faith, we realize that God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Holy Spirit moves through us, and the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. One of the most powerful little booklets that I've ever read, My Heart, Christ's Home. And this little booklet, you could probably read it in less than 5 minutes. But it shows forth the reality of what it means to have Christ living in us. And as I read this time and time again, he talks about our house, our heart, being a home where Christ can dwell. He talked about the study. I'm not going to read the book this morning, even though I could probably read it in less than 5 minutes. I'm not going to read the book this morning. But he talked about the study. And he said the first room we looked at together was the study. My heart, Christ's home. The God living in me. The library. Let us call it the study of the mind. Now, in my home, this room of the mind is a small room with thick walls. But it is an important room. In a sense, it is the control room of the house. My heart, Christ's home. And then he moves to the dining room. Now, again, there's more to it than this. I'm just kind of getting the highlights because there's one thing in particular I want to get to. He talked about the dining room. From the study, we went into the dining room, the room of the appetites and the desires. Now, this was a large room, a most important place to me. I spent a lot of time and hard work trying to satisfy all my wants and desires. The dining room. And then he moved to the living room. He said, we moved next into the living room. This was a quiet, comfortable room with warm atmosphere. I liked it. It had a fireplace, sofa, overstuffed chairs, a bookcase, and a intimate atmosphere, the living room. And then he goes on to talk about how Christ occupies that. But let me get to the one. He talked about a workroom. But let me get to the one that I want to get to, and that is the rec room. He said, I remember the time he inquired about the rec room and where I went for fun and fellowship. And I was hoping he would not ask me about that. There were certain associations and activities I wanted to keep for myself. I did not think Jesus would enjoy or approve of them. I evaded the question. However, one evening, when I was on my way out with some of my buddies for a night out on the town, he was at the door and stopped me with a glance. Hey, are you going out? I answered, yes. Good, he said. I'd like to go with you. Oh, I replied rather awkwardly. I don't think so, Lord. You really wouldn't enjoy where I'm going. Let's go out tomorrow night. Tomorrow we can go to a Bible class or a social at the church. But tonight I have another engagement. As you wish, was his comment. Only I thought, when I came into your house, we were going to do everything together. Be close companions. Just know that I'm willing to go with you. Well, I said, we'll go someplace else tomorrow night. That evening, I spent the most miserable hours. I felt rotten. What kind of friend was I to Jesus? Deliberately leaving him out of this part of my life. Doing things and going places that I knew very well he would not enjoy. When I returned that evening, there was a light in his room, and I went up to talk it over with him. I acknowledged, Lord, I have learned my lesson. I know now I can't have a good time if you're not alone. From now on, we will do everything together. Then we went down together into the rec room of the house. He transformed it. He brought new friendships, new excitement, new joys. Laughter and music have been ringing in the house ever since. With a twinkle in his eye, he smiled. You thought that with me around, you wouldn't have much fun, didn't you? Remember, I have come that you might have joy and that your joy might remain full. Now, I know, I'm not sure how many copies we have, but I do know we have some copies in the bookstore. Linda, we got a few. All right, we got a few. So I would recommend it. And you know, and I went online last night and downloaded it into my Kindle. So you can get it electronically. Powerful book. As we talk about, you know, again, trying to conceptualize, what does it mean to say that God lives in me? You know, it's one thing. I mean, we can come in here and Pastor Glaze can stand up in this pulpit and he can talk about the fact that God lives in us, that you are the temple of the living God. But what does that mean? You know, how am I supposed to process that? And I love the little booklet because it helps me to process. What does it mean that God lives in me? And that there are certain things that ought to be true of my life since God lives in me. God, we see the dwelling, the fact that God lives in me. You know, I heard the story about a man who was selling a house. And as he sold the house, somebody came and bought the house. And the guy said, well, I'm selling you this house on one condition. And he said, you see that nail over the door? He said, I still own that nail. And the guy didn't think anything of it. Well, you know, what's the big deal that you own the nail over the door? You know, that's not a big deal to me. And so years later, the guy wanted to buy the house back. And the guy that bought it enjoyed it so much, he said, no, I'm not going to sell it. He said, I want to buy the house back. He said, no, I'm not going to sell it. He said, I enjoy being in this house. And so the guy took the carcass of a dead animal and he hung it on the nail. And each day the stench got worse and worse because he owned the nail, right? And eventually the man ended up selling the house back to him because of that one little nail. And you know, when you think of the fact that God lives in us, when you think of the idea that God lives in us, have we left nails? We know that Satan can't come in and that Satan can't live in us because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We know that the devil can't live in us, but he sure can hang some nails up and have access into our life. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You got out of a bad relationship because it was bad, but you are still resentful and angry. God is living in you. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You got out of financial debt, but you still can't control the desire to spend on frivolous things. God is living in you. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You got out of a bad addiction, but you still want to try it just one more time. God is living in you. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You said, I forgive you, but you can't seem to forget and have the peace of God with that person. God is living in you. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You cut off that, I know this is not any Bethany members now. I know there's not any Bethany members here. You cut off the affair with that married person. This is for the YouTube crowd and the live stream people. You cut off that affair with that married person, but you still lust after them. God is living in you. You You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You broke off that relationship with that hurtful, abusive person, but now you are suspicious of every individual, having a hard time trusting every new person that you meet. God is living in you. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. And so we can't let the devil continue to have the victory in our lives if God is living in us. And so as I conclude this message today, in your notes, we have listed the 7 pieces of furniture that we have been studying over the last couple of months. And we want to encourage you that as you realize God is living in you, that there are some things that you need to keep in mind. As I ask myself the question, how can I be a tabernacle? This plastic container right here is a container for water. That you can put water in this. You can probably put other liquids in this, but this is a container that's suitable for carrying liquids. How can I be a container for the living God? How can I be a container for God to live in my life? The brazen altar, the place for sacrifices. You begin at the brazen altar by accepting Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for your sin. Then you move to the bronze laver, the place where the priests were cleansed for service. And you come before the Lord daily for cleansing, asking him to wash you from your iniquity. Russell read Psalm 51 for us earlier today. And in Psalm 51, it talks about the cleansing. Man, just think, if we did this and we all showed up on Sunday morning, God would set this place on fire. And people would come from all over the city to watch us burn. You come before him daily for cleansing from sin. The golden candlestick, which provided light for the holy place. You live a life of holiness so that the world might see the light of Christ in you. The table of showbread is a reminder of God's presence and provision. You feed on the word of God on a regular basis. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The altar of incense. Incense represented intercession by the priest on behalf of the people. That as a believer, that during the week, before you come back and show up here on Sunday morning, that you have spent time in his presence in prayer. The Ark of the Covenant was a container for the word of God, and that he gave it there so that they might be reminded to live in obedience to the word of God. And then the mercy seat, which covered God's law. And every day, we ought to thank God for his grace and his mercy. Every day, thank him for his grace and his mercy. How can I be a container for the living God? Lord, fill me. Live in me. Use me for your honor. For your Shekinah glory.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled The Difference. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Be a Tabernacle for God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How for God, anchoredinjesus.org, and request How to Be a Tabernacle for God, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. For Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.